Grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. It's almost the New Year's, and we're still having all of our Christmas decorations up. It always amazes me that the glow of Christmas is always felt before Christmas comes and even after it leaves. Our trees are still in our houses, their lights providing warmth. We still have our family and friends, many of us, with each other. A lot of Christmas cookies are still yet to be eaten. I still have about 2 tubs of mine left in home. We remember Christmas just being only 6 days ago. The glow of Christmas is still upon us. And we remember the proclamation, that first proclamation that the angels sang across the fields of Bethlehem. Behold, in this day in the city of David, a Christ is born. We carry that within our hearts and in our minds now into the first Sunday after Christmas. It's a joyous time, indeed. Even more joyous that we got to celebrate a baptism today. And it is so appropriate that it is today. For we remember today is the same day that Jesus himself was dedicated in the temple. Dedicated to God. For we heard in the Old Testament that it was the tradition and the responsibility of the people of Israel that all firstborns must be redeemed and given to God. For as God killed the firstborn in Egypt, so the firstborn must be redeemed in Israel. And so he, Mary and Joseph, come, just about 8 miles away from Bethlehem to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple, to fulfill all of the works that needed to be done. For Christ came to fulfill all the laws of the Old Testament, and so he went up with his parents to be consecrated to God. Which is very fun if you think about it, because this is God in flesh. And he's being consecrated to God. So God is being consecrated to God. Kind of funny when you think about it this way, but it must have happened nevertheless. And so they go up, and we hear the second of Luke's 3 proclamations of Christ. An old man, Simeon, was promised he would not die until he saw the Christ child, the Redeemer of all of Israel. And when Mary and Joseph brought that Christ child to the temple, he gave a great shout to God, and his song we still sing today in the Nunc Dimittis. And it is beautiful. He says wonderful words. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to light the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Now, some would say that that's the proclamation. And indeed, it is part. And most would be fulfilled with just stopping there and singing about the great thanksgiving that Simeon gave to God. And indeed, it is a powerful thanksgiving song, something that we should in all times keep in our own hearts, that we might sing on the day of our death as well. But it isn't the proclamation in full. It's only in part. For Simeon was giving thanks to God, but there was more. Each proclamation that Luke has in his New Testament tells of the Christ child, tells of who he is, tells of what he will do, and whom he is. Today is the second proclamation, the proclamation that tells the world what this Christ child will do. After Simeon had paraded the young Jesus throughout the temple, bringing him back to his mother and father, he had some extra words to say to them. He said that this child would indeed be a stumbling block for many. He would cause the rise and fall of many in Israel. He will be a sign to be opposed. Can you imagine Mary and Joseph's face when they heard that? Here is this man who is, they had no clue, complete stranger, coming off from around the streets, walking around, known to the people, just taking their baby up in their arms, giving a wonderful proclamation, and suddenly giving them back their child and says, this child is going to cause some issues. It's a wonderful thing to have to tell a parent right after that. You can imagine they were confused. This child who has been born just around 40 days ago, still a baby, was going to do something striking, something unconceivable. These were not comforting words. This child would cause many to rise, that's a good thing, but many to fall. He will be a sign, a rock in the middle of the road that would cause many to stumble. That in itself is hard to hear for any new parent. But what's next is even more devastating. Turning to Mary, Simeon says, "And a sword will pierce your soul also." This is the second proclamation of Luke. Makes you wonder, the glow of Christmas is still upon us. Why do we have all this doom and gloom? The stories of, yes, happiness, of great joy, of seeing the Christ child, but at the same time, words of striking contrast. You can imagine the looks on Mary and Joseph's face, especially Mary's. Confusion, definitely. Shock, probable. And maybe a little bit of worry, anxiety, some sadness. Lo and behold, all these things would come true. Jesus would grow in strength and grow in all the knowledge of God and grow in wisdom, as Luke has at the end of this gospel lesson. He would grow up. He would go out into the world, go out to his people, and many, even fishermen, lowly people who are just collecting taxes, would be known as some of the greatest men of earth. They would rise, for they believed in Christ. And many who were in power fell. But the sign opposed, that one is still impacted even today. For we look at who Christ was. He was Christ, Jesus, the Son of God, who did all good things well. He was patient, he was kind, he was humble, he was compassionate. And all of these things, we look at Christ and see that we ourselves are woefully unlike. We are to put on Christ and all of Christ of who he was, perfect in every way, keeping to every letter of the law of God, and yet we look at this and we find that we are woefully lacking. When we look at Christ, he is a sign, and we are indeed in our sin opposed to him. And this is difficult for us to grasp. It was difficult for many of the people in God's own time to grasp. When we see of Mary having her soul pierced by a sword, many say, and are correct in saying, that it was because she was there at the cross, seeing her own son, her firstborn, dedicated to God, die, pierced by nails and spears. I would say, though, it happened before then. Jesus was a sign to be opposed, a sign for many to rise and to fall. In the very beginnings and throughout his ministry, he would go to all the places of Jerusalem and of all of Israel. He would even return home to Nazareth. And while he is there preaching, while he is there testifying the good news of God, calling all people to him, calling all people to cling to the rock of ages, his mother would be outside those doors. His own family, his brothers and sisters would be surrounded by their mother. And they were there not to be risen up. Indeed, Jesus was a sign opposed. His own family looked upon him. His own mother. And thought he was insane. And wanted desperately to take him away, to go back home, to stop all this nonsense, to stop all of this controversy, to stop all of this bickering. This is Christ, the child. He who came into this world. And for many, even his own family, they did not understand. But we take heart. For at times, there are many times we can't even understand our Lord and Savior. The words that he says sometimes fill us with trepidation, fill us with great sorrow, and even fill us with hope. For remember Simeon's song, "He is a light to lead the Gentiles." Christ came into this world not to destroy it, by no means. He came to save it. He came into this world as a small babe, clothed in weakness and in immense power all at the same time. For it was only he that could come into this world and save the people from their sins. For he was a rock along the road, a rock that indeed caused many to stumble. But to those who believe in him, for us, for you and for me, he is a rock to cling to. He is a sign that we can point to and say, there is our salvation. He is a rock that when we fall, instead of kicking with our foot and screaming how unfair life is, instead, we turn to him and cling to it. And it becomes our anchor. It becomes the bedrock of our very lives. It becomes the source of our proclamations of joy. It becomes the cornerstone of which we put all of our hope and all of our trust in. It is he who was born, King of the Jews, who came for the entire people. That sign opposed that we put our trust in. And indeed, we will rise. For he came, and for many, he will be the result for many to rise in the fall. As he caused men of poor stature to become the greatest writers of books that are still read today, he would call all people who believe in him to rise to eternal life. Call all people to his side to eternal glory. Call all people to lead lives that are holy and just. To look at Christ and to see him, and through his holy giving of the Holy Spirit to emulate him. So I leave you now at the cusp of the new year with these words. Put on Christ. You are clothed in Christ, in his compassion, in his mercy, in his forgiveness. So go. Go out into the world. If you have any quarrel with anyone, forgive them. If you have any cause of any distractions, forgive them. Just as Christ has forgiven you. And in all things, in all places, and at all times, give glory to God, the cornerstone, the sign opposed. For it is in that sign we draw our faith. In that sign upon the cross we draw our hope. And it is he, the Christ, we know that we can cling to and so proclaim at this time and in all places and for all peoples. Amen.